Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This morning, I want to break for us from God's word. I want to break to you the Christmas story. I think there is no story in God's word that is better than the Christmas story. But we're going to approach it a little bit different so you don't get trapped in the mindset of where you've already been in Luke chapter 2. Many passages deal with the Christmas story, but Luke chapter 2 really kind of puts it in order. And so the Christmas story is something that all of us should just be real aware of and dear to our hearts because we know that it was a life-changing event. Amen? This morning, I want you to see that the reason for the season is the love that God had in his heart. I know when we look at the world today, we go, what a mess. But it wasn't a mess when he arrived. And the Roman Empire was in charge. Can you imagine the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the King of Eternity is going to settle down in and come under the leadership of the Roman Empire. He was under but not out. Never once was Jesus Christ not the King, not the King of Glory. One person has put it this way, he who has no Christmas in his heart will never find Christmas under a tree. How many know that probably within a week, week and a half, we're going to be putting all those things away? But how many know that that room is still going to be for him on the inside? And the needs of people will be great. For those that have been with us over the last few weeks, you know we've been really honoring the Advent season. In a moment, I'm going to have several of you as you choose to. How many know that even when he chooses you, you can still renege? See, I just went upstairs. How many know that he chose us? We didn't choose him. Okay? He chose you, but you also know once he has chosen you, you can walk a life of obedience or you can walk a life of disobedience. That is incredible for me to understand that a king would give us that much room. He would permit us to either obey or disobey. That's ridiculous to me. I mean, here he sits in total power, having called us. We didn't call him. He brought us into the kingdom. We didn't come into the kingdom. But then once we come into the family of God, there's a tendency at times for us to decide and determine, I think I will, perhaps okay today. But tomorrow is still open. That'll be open for discussion. I want to give you some good news this morning about the Christmas story. When he left heaven, he being Jesus, to come to earth, there was no discussion. It was already complete. Yes? I know you may be traveling right now to the garden and you're thinking, but did he not say? And yes, he did say. But that was the human side of the God-man. The God-man side was settled. If we can allow the Holy Spirit to settle where he belongs in us, he would help us with our man side or woman side. Come on now, church. See, I told you I wasn't going to just give you Luke chapter 2 and give you a story that you've already read many, many times. I want you to know that when he came, it was settled. He came to fulfill what was already promised. Some of us have promised children or grandchildren something that we're going to do during the holidays. How many know that sometimes we come up short? How many know that he has never come up short? His word is settled forever in heaven. So what does that mean for you? If you are a member of the family of God, you're in his family and it's settled. And I want to give you a security blanket this morning. When you come in, he will not divorce you. I think that's almost 2 weeks in a row now, either on a Wednesday night or and again this morning. I want you to know that down here on earth, we do those kind of things because we don't know how to get along. Because we usurp the Spirit of God. We usurp the Spirit of God, and once again, the flesh rules. But in the kingdom, he rules. That's why wise men came from the east. Because they knew they were under his lineage, as under his leadership. They didn't come from his natural lineage, but they understood this was a lot bigger than Rome. And what I'm giving to you this morning is much bigger than the United States of America or any nation in the world. Our God is eternal, and he's reigning and he's ruling. And so if you do put away all of the Christmas decorations, there should still be plenty of room on the inside. And this is what the Advent season is all about. We shared with you that the Advent season was a season of prophecy. It was a season when the prophetic word that had been spoken of was going to be unveiled. And now we can go future. And into the book of Revelation, we know that prophecy has not yet been completed. And you can't pray outside of prophecy and have the complete picture of the word of the Lord. You've got to pray within the context of his word. Because God doesn't violate his word. We do. When I say we, that means me. Have I ever in my life violated God's word? The answer is yes. Have I found atonement? Yes. Have I found forgiveness? Yes. But God will not violate his word. Pray in the context of God's word. If I was to put this within a classroom, if you do it the way it was diagrammed on the board, you're probably going to come up with the right answer. Hello? But if you go scrub that, scratch that, she doesn't, he doesn't know what they were doing up on the board, I know better, you may not come up with the right answer. I was in the store the other day and figured it out in my mind because it was a low number. Come on, church. And somebody behind me in the line said, could you show your work on paper? I said, only at school. God has put on paper how it's going to be. The prophetic of the word of the Lord will never be switched. What he said will be carried out. Daniel said it. Daniel said it. Hosea said it. Amos said it. And on we can go. John the Baptist said it. But I want you to feel comfortable about this. Even if you lose your head, the prophetic word of the Lord will be accomplished. Good sound teaching this morning. John the Baptist laid it on the altar over somebody that could dance, but whose family member was upset with John. Was that outside the scope of the will of God? Absolutely not. Did God know where John was? Yes. Even when John was a little nervous and a little like apprehensive, Jesus was still the king. When I'm not quite sure what God's up to, he's still God. Just because he can't be figured out in your timeline, you've got to go upstairs to get his. Because his timeline is eternal and without error. So when we think about the Advent season, we're thinking about the prophetic word of the Lord. And we declared on that particular service that not only was Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he was wrapped in prophecy. Amen. So is your life. You will only get in trouble when you're outside the word of the Lord. Oh, come on, church. Can't wait to get to my notes because it's going to be all about love if we get there. But if you've traveled with me a few times through the years that we've been here, it's not always how I prepare it, it's how he wants it delivered. But sometimes I have been guilty in my life of wanting to make sure that it's delivered the way I prepared it. It's more important that it's delivered the way he wants it. Come on, church. And if you will do that each and every day of your life, you will not always know, but you will know he knows. And it's best to know that he knows, even when you don't know. Because the Bible says, better to quote it than to live it, isn't it? The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. When we can figure it out and can see it, boy, do we give a hallelujah to the Lord. But when we can't figure it out, then all of a sudden we go, well, not quite sure. Long as he knows, just keep on walking. Come on, church. Come on now. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, Job said, I shall come forth as gold. Gold is on the inside. Now, what does that mean? Every one of you carry a prophetic word. No. Not that you're going to add or subtract anything from the book, but rather that you will have a timely word for someone who's in need of a word from the Lord. Amen. For example, I was taking a young person home the other night from one of our services, and we were talking. It was a night or a day service. It really doesn't matter. It happened. And as we were talking, he shared with me that several of his family members were already in the medical field. And that wasn't a real hard thing for me to say. You know what? God has gifted you and skilled you. You also should be training yourself to get into that level because you can go there. That is a prophetic word. If it happens, he's going to have to be the carrier under the manager who is the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Come on now. So this morning we're going to have someone come and light the middle candle. The middle candle has been lit before. We're going to leave it lit throughout the service. But this is a house of prophecy. We believe in the prophetic word of the Lord. We believe that you are carriers of God's word. Let me explain it to you this way. Whatever light you have, it's always underneath his light. So yesterday when I was getting ready to leave Lancaster with the men that I've been mentoring, I'll leave that one alone. As we were getting ready to leave, one of the guys said to me, they said, "We know who you are." I said, "Okay, what does that mean?" They said, "We know that you're a carrier of the gospel because whenever you come here, it's always better after you leave." That's what I'm saying is on your life too. But in order for that to shine bright, you've got to be around people to carry what you carry. Let me explain it to you this way. If you have that and you do, but you are always around those that don't have any clue about the light of the gospel, it will dim your light. Does that make sense? Are you with me? If you were an athlete, if you want to get better, you're going to have to play against competition better than you. If you're in the business world and you're doing okay, but you know there are those that are way up here, in order for you to get there, you're going to have to associate with those that are already there. I'll explain it to you this way. I got to change that illustration a little bit. If you're in a tough place in your marriage and you start hanging out with someone who's already divorced or they're thinking like you're thinking, it won't be long. You'll be thinking like they think. All of those illustrations are simply saying the prophetic word of the Lord is over you, but you need to make sure that it stays within you by association. You want to, so we're not talking about religious freaks. We're not talking about any of those kind of things. We're talking about people who carry a now word for your situation and season. I was out on the sidewalk this morning and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I'm the now God." Now, go back and look at that in the context of God's word and you will find that God is a now God. He is yesterday and he is tomorrow, but he is also today. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to be in the now moment with him so when it's time to deliver a word, you can give that word to that person who's in need. So I wonder this morning who would like to be the representative of coming up and lighting that first candle, which is the candle of prophecy. Come quickly if you will, please. Because prophecy will be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is coming again. How can you say that? Don't you remember how we felt about Peter when Peter, are you with me this morning? I'm in the epistle of Peter. And they began to mock him and berate him because he said, "He's coming again." And they said, "Man, we've seen this, heard this, he hasn't come. Come on, are you serious? He's not coming." I have good news for you, church. Look beyond December the 25th. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime. That's not the kind of word God's ever given me. But I know he's coming again. Glory. Let me say that one more time. He's coming again. There should be inside of you an expectation that you're going to see Jesus. Either in your lifetime or at the completion of your life, you're going to behold the one who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I am going to see Jesus. and I'm going to be down on my knees, and I'm going to be on my face, and I'm going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who is now the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And if you can't get jacked up about that, then you're looking at the gods of this world. And I don't know what God you have. But I would never declare that the Lamb became a lion unless it was Jesus Christ himself. And he will rule. He's going to rule. But sometimes we get so fired up and excited about the rulership of Jesus that we fail to realize he would love to be able to rule us. And it's okay, but sometimes it's easier for us to say amen over the nations than for me to say amen, rule over this, because that's what he created it for. He never came to live in buildings. This one or the building and buildings that will come through this ministry. He's not impressed with any of it. Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. That doesn't impress God. What impresses God is when he is able to bathe what he bought with his own blood, with his presence. Ooh, ooh, ooh. He destroyed the temple from the cross so that everyone would begin to understand he wasn't going to be living in those temples. He was going to be living in the new temple. What know ye not? This is 1 Corinthians church. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. He paid the ultimate price for every one of us today. Also, he paid an incredible price for everyone that's out on the streets, out on the highways, out in the various areas, deep in the clutches of sin. He paid for them. We must go. We must go. We must go with the gospel of love. The second candle which we lit last week, it's the purple candle. And it's the candle of preparation. Every day you should be prepared to carry a word from the Father to someone. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, any day, any time, ready to go. You know what? Speak, Lord. I'm in the Old Testament church. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You see, he had been so well trained that Samuel knew where he should go, but he wasn't trained to go where he should have gone. Oh, Lord, give us ears to hear. Oh, God, give us ears to hear. But brother, I just came to have a Sunday morning service. God is not impressed. He brought you here so that he might put inside of you a fresh word, that you might be a carrier of the word just like his son was. Let me go back to the illustration about the doctor. Just like we would wait upon a doctor who would come with good news, better news, and the things that we need for recovery. Do you not see yourself as a spiritual doctor in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? And people are waiting for you to come with the good news. It was Amy a few moments ago that was standing here and said that this season gives us a time of hope. Maybe you're here this morning, you're flatline. You have no hope. If you will simply know that he is your hope, that will once again breathe deep within your life. So we must go. We must go as carriers to people from all walks of life. Amen? So preparation. Preparation was being made out of the prophetic word that had been spoken over the life of baby Jesus. I want you to, the rest of this morning, I want you to prepare yourself to become God's Bethlehem. At the close of the service this morning, I have negotiated for my wife to come and to minister in song. The negotiation is very expensive. And she's going to sing about Bethlehem Morn. But you know what? God wants you to be his modern day Bethlehem. God wants to be birthed in you afresh and anew. I'm not talking about being born again and again and again. I'm just talking about where the dedication level is set. Where God is dwelling, where he deserves to dwell. So I wonder this morning if we can have someone come and who would like to light the candle of preparation. Who'd like to be that person? Awesome. See, what you may not know, and maybe this will kind of jar your attention, you go, you know what, I don't think I'll be the third one. Those individuals that just came to light the candles, the one on prophecy and the one on preparation, they're going to be at the front of the line. Now, if this was a food line, we'd all want to be first. Any of you that ever worked in school, the other day I was over at the elementary school, and boy, they do a great job on keeping those kids where they're supposed to be, but man, will they jump line. I wish we would do that in the kingdom. I wish we would jump line. So that when we heard the voice of the Lord, we wouldn't wait for somebody else. We would just simply step up and go, count on me. When do you need me? Where do you need me? Here I am, Lord. Send me. So what you should see now this morning is this. Two of the ladies that have come forward, God's going to use them this week with a word of encouragement, a prophetic word for someone, and then just go on about your day. But you're also going to see that the second one is going to be involved in preparing others to become a Bethlehem. And this is what the Bible is all about when we hear so much about reaching the lost. Really what it means in the context of the Christmas story is this. We're going out and we're asking others, would you like to be God's Bethlehem? Whew. Sometimes you're going to hear people say, there's no room. I don't have any room, not today, maybe tomorrow. I pray this morning in Jesus' name that King Agrippa is not here. It was King Agrippa, I'm in the book of Acts, it was King Agrippa who said to the Apostle Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost will put you in hell. Almost. Can you imagine the greatest orator, the greatest writer writing most of the New Testament? He looks at the Apostle Paul and he says, not today. But in the context of Scripture, it says, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a believer or a Christian. Not altogether, but almost. I'm inviting this house today not to celebrate just December the 25th, but I'm going to ask over the course of the next year, are you listening this morning? Can you hear the Holy Spirit this morning? He woke me up in the middle of the night and he said, I'm asking 12. I said, 12? I'll explain in just a moment, but I'm going to ask that every month, every one of us will go out and let God use us to create a new Bethlehem in the kingdom as someone out of darkness comes into light. 12. What does that mean for me? It means a lot because I'm a competitor. I've kind of tuned it down a little bit, but it's also going up at another level in his kingdom. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe all your dials are set to be real high in competition out here in the natural, but how competitive are you for Jesus Christ in the spiritual? And so God's been turning down some of my dials, and it's not that important anymore. Do you see that? And now he's been asking me, will you turn it up over here? Will you ratchet up? Will you crank it up just a little bit? So let me use a little illustration, and hopefully none of their fans will be here today. Up north, they know how to play football, but I don't know about basketball right now. But yesterday, it was fun. Anybody blue here? We're okay? That's going on podcast. Maybe he'll cut this piece out. For a moment, I had all my dials back up because the below average Ohio State basketball team went and upset the number 4 team in the country, the Kentucky Wildcats, which is basketball at its finest. And for a moment, Joshua, there he is sitting right over there. He said, you know what time it is, Dad? Come on, Dad, start doing this thing. And we start acting really stupid. But that's just the beginning of how crazy it was. It got so crazy, he ran out of one area of the room because it just went nuts. Listen, don't get caught by the illustration. Get the principle. Listen to me, not principle as an administrator, the principle as in truth. For a moment, once again, I turned up all of my dials. But sometimes God looks from the throne of my heart and he goes, where am I? You seem to be running a little low today. You know how to compete over here. You know how to do this and you know how to do that. What about this? Where are the Bethlehems that you should be bringing in? The Bethlehems are souls. 12. Some of you are still here. The Holy Spirit said, I would like for you to each month to bring one. That would be by the end of 2016, if Jesus tarries, there should be 12 people that have been brought into the kingdom who are now his Bethlehem because of my life. Watch this, because of your life. Listen, I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, or all of this is bogus. It's all bogus. Because I love to listen to messages too. But if it doesn't cause me to do something, what was the value of that message? God is calling every one of us to walk out of this facility today and begin looking for the new Bethlehems that he wants to bring in so that he can rest inside them as the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then the Christ child begins to grow and he takes on all of the characteristics of the King of Glory. And once you see them come into the kingdom, then you begin praying over their lives. And according to the word of God, you begin praying with your understanding and you pray in the spirit. God wants the church to be alive in the spirit. That means knowing how to pray with your understanding and then know how to pray in the spirit. And God will give you that gift if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, the presence of the Lord is here this morning. For a few moments, I want you to look with me at the Christmas story. How many, everybody's doing good? I'll try not to belabor all of this, but you've got to understand that Jesus Christ came not just to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, but to wrap other individuals in his love, in his forgiveness, in his grace, in his mercy, so that they would become, of this day, the Christmas story. The Christmas story is complete in his life, but it's incomplete until it comes alive in them. Would somebody give God praise in this place for new life that's coming into people out on the highways and the byways? And right now we're going to begin calling them in as we go out like Mary and Joseph looking for a place where Jesus can lodge. A word from the Lord, please don't get discouraged. A word from the Lord, please don't be discouraged when you hit the innkeeper on round one. Just keep looking. You'll find a place where Jesus can be birthed in someone's life. Amen? Well, the reason for the season is God's love for us. I want to take the word love, and I'm going to try to do this so that you don't feel like, you know what, I kind of feel kind of like, ugh. Hope he's almost done. I want to take the word love, and I want to do it in 15 minutes, and I want you to hear what love looks like from heaven to earth. Are you with me this morning? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Turn to somebody and say, I've been adopted. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I just want to encourage someone to say, Daddy. Yeah. Then let's put it in context. Let's just declare, Abba, Father. I still like it when my kids come up to me or they're in another room or wherever and they go, hey, Dad. Boy, that's a good sound. It's a better sound when God hears the Bethlehems of today saying, Abba, Father. Man, I'm sensing the Spirit of the Lord in this place. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And in Colossians 1:19, it says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That wasn't a makeshift Savior, ladies and gentlemen. All of the Godhead dwelt in baby Jesus. He didn't always put everything on display about divinity, but listen to the word of the Lord. All the fullness of God dwelt in him, and the Father was pleased. The Father is pleased to know that you're in the kingdom, but the pleasure of his heart is to see those outside the kingdom brought in. For this is the reason for the season. God's love. Let's take the word love and move with me now quickly over these next few moments, and then we're going to be captured in the closing moments with the song Bethlehem Mourn, because I want you to see that you are God's Bethlehem, but he wants many more. And we're going to go out and declare there's room. There's room in your heart for him. Come on, come taste and see that the Lord is good. The reason that God loves us so much, according to John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The reason for the season is love. Listen very closely now. God's love is different than our love. God's love is based on the lostness of man. And he exchanges our lostness with his life. What a trade. What an incredible moment. He found us in sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you don't go out and tell them, "Do you know that you're lost?" That will definitely cut your Bethlehem morning off. But what you've got to know is, by being led by the Holy Spirit, there are people that do not know him. They are not ready to meet him. But we need to know that people outside the kingdom are lost, and it's our responsibility to bring life to them. And this is what the Bible is talking about when Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So there's two levels to those who are in the body of Christ. There are those that are alive, and then there are those that are abundantly alive. Whoa. But his desire is that everyone would experience abundant life. Abundant life so that at times you can bring your gift and you can kneel before him and you can lay that gift before him. And then times when he asks for you to take that gift and give that gift to others. But when you give away what he's given, it won't be less, there'll be more. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, let's keep moving. So listen closely. When you think about God's love, you're thinking about the exchange of what was lost to that which is now life. And this is the purpose of every ministry, that we would be willing to leave the 99, the 150, the 200, the 300, the thousands, and we know somebody's not here or someone that we've been talking to, they didn't show up, we go find them. Glory. When we think about the season that we're in, and it's the great Christmas story, we move to the letter O. When we think about love, we think about human nature. And human nature, listen, is always obstinate, bowing up in a heartbeat. You hurt my feelings. You didn't say it in the context of what I needed to hear. Let's make a deal. Can we not reconsider? Human nature is obstinate, but listen, Jesus came to be obedient. And his obedience should be manifested in our obedience. I put it down this way when the Spirit of the Lord gave it to me yesterday. When we are obstinate, he was obedient. That is our human nature. I'm giving you some wisdom as you prepare to see new Bethlehems. There are going to be some who are going to bow up, they're going to buck up, and they're going to shout out. Don't let that disturb you. Continue to look for your 12. Oh my goodness, I know what he just did. He just linked what God asked him to do for us to do. That's why you're in this house. Let me explain to you this way. If you won't accept this leadership, you're kidding yourself. You are kidding yourself. If you won't come under the leadership of a man who walks with God and hears from God and tries to obey God, and you won't listen to the leadership at this level, don't ever think you're going upstairs under his. I didn't see go to heaven. I'm talking about, I used to do that with my dad all the time. Come on, church. Some of you are starting to back out here a little bit. I used to always tell myself, man, I love God. I'm going to obey God, but I disobeyed my dad on earth. And man, the Holy Spirit let me know real quick, you know what? You're screwed up. You won't even obey the one who's in front of you. You won't even listen to the instructions of his life. I'm talking about me, folks. Don't become obstinate now. That's what we've got. Let me explain it to you this way, and it's great. I don't mind for it to be out on podcast. Urban Meyer told all the kids, no guns, not even with permits, no guns on this program. The young man was caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and he had his gun. He's done. All done playing football. We have got to come under the leadership of those that God's placed in front of us. Sometimes they may be believers, and sometimes they may be haters of the cross. But you still have to. I'm in the book of Romans right now. Well, I follow those who follow me. Really? No, I'm going to obey those that may not even love God. I'm still going to obey and do the things I'm called to do because ultimately I know who's on the throne. And I can show downstairs what's going on upstairs. Let me break it to you this way. All I'm trying to do is to bring some information, and I know it's so real and so practical. It's like, don't touch that. It's been a heavy 2 months in the academic field. Thursday, I was to be at a training. So I got my stuff and got ready to go to the training. I'm talking about obstinate. I'm talking about flare-ups that we have. Sometimes in the home, sometimes at work, sometimes in the church, sometimes in the business world. And so I'm taking all my stuff up, and they had moved it over to the academy, and I'm walking up, and I'm met by one of the administrators at the district, and they said, did you get the videos done? I said, no, I didn't get the videos done. I said, it's been... Y'all here? One of my bosses said to me, well, you don't need to be here. You could have hit me in the gut and it would have felt better. Come on, church. You're not looking at a pro. You're looking at a person saved by grace. If you're looking for a professional, look elsewhere. So I walked back down to the office, got on the computer immediately, and I emailed every one of my leaders who are over me and in the Lord over me. Where are you, church? I may stop on obstinate this morning because you know what I think? I think love is cheap and sacrilegious in our communities and in most of our churches. And I emailed every one of the administrators at the district office and said, I sincerely apologize for not getting the videos watched and recorded. Please accept my apology. May this not offend my leadership. Forgive me. Wait a second, I'm not done. Because in case you didn't know, he's the potter and you and I are the clay. And I think he's got some tools out this morning and he's working and he's chipping some things. Later in the day, I'm going, Holy Spirit, what's next? Call. On the way home, wow, everybody's with me right here. On the way home, I called several of them and specifically, voice to voice, communicated what I'd already typed. Why? When you make a mistake, own it. When you make a mistake, correct it. When you make a mistake, humble yourself. Why? Because I know I carry the prophetic word of the Lord. I know that I have desire to always be prepared. I know that I want to be a person. In a moment, we're going to close by lighting the last, and this is going to be the pink candle, which is a proclaimer. But I can affect my level of effectiveness by not taking care of my business. Y'all hear? Y'all hear? This is what Jesus did with the 12 for 3.5 years. He taught them how to own it, correct it, be humble before it, and move forward in the power of his might. I'm wondering this morning how many individuals need to look inside their Bethlehem where Jesus dwells and go, you know what? There's some things that I've got to own. I got to quit shifting it. I got to quit blaming others. I got to quit this and I got to quit that. And what I need to do is own that. I need to own it and I need to take it to the cross. And I need to bow not before the manger any longer, but at the cross. I need to kneel down and to say, yes, that was me. But no, it won't be in the future. I can correct it and I will humble myself and I will walk before God the way he wants me to walk. Amen. In the next 2 minutes, I will close, and I'm trusting that wherever she is, she'll be here. When we think about love, we know that we were lost, and he gave us life. We also know that we have the tendency to be a little obstinate, cantankerous. You got me, I'll get you. I had an individual come to the house early this morning. They said, do you have a few moments? I said, I always do. I'll make time. Come on, church. And he said, here's the situation. This is going on, and I'm being undercut, and I'm being taken advantage of. What do I need to do? I said, what do you want to do? He said, you serious? I said, tell me the truth. What do you want to do? So he told me what he wanted to do. I said, okay, let's lay that down against the roadmap. He said, no. I said, so what we have to do is this. You've got to forgive. And then number two, you've got to go ahead and start blessing. Not necessarily with personal itemized blessings, but begin speaking blessings over their lives. And I said, you know what? I'm working on the same thing. You're not alone. And then he said, can we pray together? I said, 39 degrees is just right. Right outdoors in the front yard, let's pray. And so we prayed. Father, forgive, restore, take out any wrong seeds that might be in our hearts as men. And now we begin to bless. And we call that person's name. And we begin to bless. And we begin to bless. And we begin to bless. And bless. And we're going to continue to bless. When we got done, you'd have thought all heaven had just woke up. His face was just aglow. He said, wow, I feel different. This morning, let go of your grudges. When we think about God's love, we're going to do this real quick. On the natural side, Jesus knew before he arrived that we have a tendency to be vile and vicious. Brother, you do not know me. I am one of the best. I am so good. I was getting ready for service this morning, and I said, can I change that? He said, if you do, you've not seen the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the resemblance of what our nature is truly like. And we are even willing to hold off for years, knowing that eventually I will be the sniper. Come on, church. We like the old Christmas story, don't we? We like the old Christmas story, don't we? But we're not quite sure when we take the story of history and bring it down in to where our Bethlehems are. You know why? Because it's just as messy as it was when he was born. And there's stuff in my life that still stinks, and he's got to help me get that stuff out. But because we have a tendency to be vile and vicious, Jesus comes with victory. I'm declaring victory over every area where you have either been sabotaged or you've sabotaged yourself or you are setting things in place to sabotage others. I speak victory over your life. And then last, did you know that I asked a few moments ago, maybe you feel like a long time ago, I asked you to say adoption. Well, the E stands for the fact that we were estranged from God. The Bible says that we were all like sheep. We've gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And God has laid everything on his Son. For our estranged natural lifestyle, God has come to give to us eternal life. You have eternal life right now. You're on your way home right now. Even if December the 25th comes and goes, you are all ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life. So this morning, as we get ready to close, and I'm trusting God to just kind of tie everything together, how many of you already know, yes, I have life, I'm living the abundant life, but more than that, I'm going to be a proclaimer that I carry eternal life. And you know what? It's much better to share that than all the wealth of this world. Because the wealth of this world will not bridge the gap from life to eternal life. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will permit people to cross over. How many of you would stand this morning with me and say, I have eternal life? All over this room, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I've got eternal life. So now watch this. In a moment, I need someone to come and light our last candle. It's the candle of proclamation. And I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit to say that you are being invited, not told. You're being invited during the next 12 months in January going forward to bring 12 individuals into the Bethlehem experience to where they can be God's Bethlehem. Amen? So guess what? By next year at this time, God's kingdom is going to at least double. At least double. In this house alone. So I'm wondering who will be the third person to come and say, I'm the proclaimer. Wow, look at this. All right, three ladies, come on. Together, light the candle of proclamation. This is going to be a house of proclamation. Awesome. We're going to make three declarations this morning. Yes? The first one is this. Father, I thank you that you have given me the privilege to proclaim. I'm ready to take Bethlehem to others. Father, I thank you. You have prepared for me many opportunities that I know nothing about. But Father, I'm ready. I'm prepared as Mary was. And I will treasure all these things in my heart. Have you got room for one more? Have you got room for one more? This is the prophetic candle. This is huge. I'll show you how twisted we are in the natural. If I was to say to everybody, I have given gifts and your name and a gift is up here, you guys would be ecstatic. I don't have that. But I do carry this, the prophetic word of the Lord, and we're about to make a declaration that what God gave unto me, I'm placing over this whole entire house. Oh, by the way, the reason he was called the greatest missionary, the Apostle Paul, is every church that he started, where he started, he planted prophecy. The prophetic word of the Lord was in every one of those houses. Y'all ready for the last one? Father, I thank you. I'm wrapped not only in swaddling clothes, but I'm wrapped in your word. I'm ready to speak words of encouragement, words of deliverance, words of healing, words of victory, words of love to every person in the new year. This I ask in Jesus' name, that the Son of the Most High will be honored in my life. Thank you. I am your Christmas story. Now I want you to turn to someone beside you and say to them, you are too. You are too. Y'all ready? Look this way. Y'all ready? What's the theme of today's message? Love. No one will be birthed. Listen to the word of the Lord. No one will be birthed if we don't do it in love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No, you didn't understand why I did that. Because I was defiant and obstinate yesterday. I wanted it to go a different way. And I didn't want it to be this way. But now I understand. No one will be birthed next year that's not done in love. Or you might bring them into religion. Or you might bring them into a church setting, but they'll leave just as quick as they got in once they figure out there's no love. Everything Jesus did was bathed in love. Now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I release.